All right, welcome back to the Modern Car Wash Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Zlaznik. Shane Groff is not with us today. He is on assignment, but we do have a very special guest. Joining us is the Vice President of Marketing for Soapy Joe's Car Wash in San Diego, Ann Mahler. Ann, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. We were talking, and I am a marketer. And it is nice to have a fellow marketer on the podcast. So we will certainly talk some shop, but we just want to get to know you and Soapy Joe's and kind of your insight and things like that. So I guess where we'll start is if you can kind of just give us some background and set the stage of Soapy Joe's, where you're located, how many locations, any other entities, C-stores, oil change, things like that.
Absolutely. We've got everything you've just said. So let me break it down. As you said, we're out here in San Diego. We are an express exterior car wash model. We've really been in a hyper growth mode. And over the last 4 years I've been there, we've grown from 11 locations to 20, and we'll be at 24 by the end of this year, really with no end in sight. So our growth trajectory remains really healthy. It's been very exciting. But in addition to the express exteriors, we do have a handful of convenience stores, gas stations, and also one auto lube center as well. So we've got a couple of other business units that keeps us busy and really keeping our eye on the ball. So, and again, I'm not sure if we mentioned out here in San Diego, California.
Yeah. So you've been with Soapy Joe's for 4 years, and you just mentioned when you started, you had 11 locations. So this is pre-pandemic 2019. Did you know when you applied and you accepted the job that this growth was coming? Or this is very similar to kind of what happened to me. I started in 2017 and we weren't quite there yet. I knew I was joining a good organization, but the growth plan was not in full swing. So I kind of got lucky there.
Well, I came in a little bit after the upslope of what you just described. So I was recruited into Soapy Joe's by a woman named Megan Ragsdale. She's our COO. And if you have not checked her out, you should. She should be your next guest. I'll get your editorial calendar for you.
Yeah, right.
So Megan was working with our founder, Lauren Zatisha, on a really a culture project and helping mature the organization for massive growth. There's such an interesting time out there in the marketplace. So I was part of an A-team that was brought in. Have had the pleasure of working with some very high caliber professionals across that leadership group. So it's been really fun to come in and structure the organization for growth. That's kind of been the name of the game. A classic people, process, technology scenario on evaluating, setting up and really positioning the company. So it's been fun, and that's what I came here to do.
So it seems like they identify that this growth was happening. We need to kind of level up on a staffing standpoint. You're recruited, which is obviously flattering. Was it a hard sell for them to kind of get you to come over? Or was it an easy decision?
Well, it's a thoughtful decision of any regard when you make a change, but my background includes high growth, high volume throughput concepts. So I have a background in restaurant with Panera and Qdoba, and they were both not only high volume, but also on a massive growth trajectory. So all of that made a lot of sense. I worked with their franchise organizations too, and the chance to come in and build a brand. We want to be one of the last brands standing across the nation as all of this consolidation happens. So yeah, that was at the end of the day, an opportunity you can't pass up to put your skills and domain expertise into practice with a really wide open horizon line on how we could do this, what we could do. And, quite happily, from my perspective, the brand is just thriving and happy and fun. And to come in and be a brand steward of the Soapy Joe's brand, it was a good formula that really kind of ticked all the boxes for me. So it's been fun. Yeah.
How have you seen the brand externally in the last 4 years? How has it grown? But also internally, you talked about that company culture. What's been bigger? Have you seen the bigger shift outside or on the inside?
Well, I think on the inside, really. I mean, when it comes down to it, we're looking to make sure that we're providing in that external experience of fabulous customer experience, a member experience. And so we've done a lot of work with our staff outlining and understanding what that customer journey is so that we can train to do preventative maintenance against, you know, ops procedures X, Y, and Z against what we have quantified as a great experience, but really setting those processes, doing the thoughtful work as a leadership team to understand what those components are, and then building the resources necessary to put those in market really come first. And kind of the actual impact on the customer, I would say, is the trailing metric of those internal things that we have put in place. That's not to say sometimes the cart doesn't go before the horse and you know, things get in market fast. We really consider ourselves very nimble. If that could be our secret weapon, it's learning and adapting as we go. So the two go hand in glove.
Yeah. So how many employees does Soapy Joe's have?
Oh, gosh. We are in the 450 to 500 range at this time. And then we'll have another 100 or so by the end of the year with the growth that I was mentioning earlier.
Okay. So you come in, and I'm assuming at the same time, were there other individuals coming in at your level as well in different departments as you grew this leadership team? And then as a group, you're making these decisions, and it sounds like it starts, you know, we're going to take care of what's happening inside of our walls first, and that success will lead to our success outside. Is that kind of fair?
Yes. And I would say, I mean, I started thinking through all the people really responsible for this and really wonderful people that we've been bringing into the organization. Predating me, Isaac Lee, our SVP of operations, has an extensive military background. Lieutenant Commander of the Marine Corps, spent some time at the Pentagon, and his philosophies on how to engage a large group of individuals, i.e. our employees. And then it's my favorite. I come from the restaurant world, but he's military, so he calls it disaggregated ops. To me, it's, you know, locations. But he knows how to manage across those scenarios, but not just the technical functional stuff. Let me tell you, it's right and tight, and you know, we're on it and we have the procedures, but his ability to enroll young leaders and get them to emulate the leadership and then in turn affect the people below them has been just phenomenal. And it's the cornerstone of a lot of our learning. But I can't, you know, be remiss, or I would be remiss in not mentioning Julie Smith. She is our director of HR and has brought in place all of the content to support all that, all the programs. And one of the big things that she has brought in is our relationship with Pride Industries, which is a organization that has helped us staff in unique ways by bringing in adults with disabilities. So when you think about the hiring pool in San Diego, and we've got Isaac with his military background and Julie with her adults with disabilities specialty, she worked with them for many years, coming together to form a really tight strategic net for us to be recruiting off of. And there's just dozens more people, Ashley Wanamaker, Megan Ragsdale, I mentioned her. These individuals are raising the talent pool within our organization, not just now, but for the long term also. And they're great.
In the last year and a half, 2 years, I mean, I know we felt it's hard to find help, right? Did Soapy Joe's experience that at kind of like at what extent, or were you already well positioned that you didn't maybe have some of these pains that some other operators had?
Oh, well, I'd be lying to you if I said we didn't experience the pains. I mean, everyone does. It's a high growth, high turnover concept in general. But I would say we were also well prepared just in terms of, again, our flexibility and our fluidity of thought, really trying to be creative as we go. So by adding these layers, we've really been able to unlock an entire population group that doesn't get bored. I mean, I would say our Pride employees fit the perfect, or the saying, be brilliant at the basics. the repetition, the attention to quality at the same things over and over are really appealing to that audience. And we found a really great match there. So I would not say we're immune to the market ups and downs, but not only have we looked at alternate hiring pools, we've spent a lot of time on our entire employee life cycle, from onboard recruiting to onboarding to recognition, anniversaries, celebrations, and then on through even to recruiting, like referral programs, and trying to really create that holistic life cycle that makes us sticky. Once we're in and we found you, we really pride ourselves in having a very low turnover rate compared to the industry. We're less than a third of what the normal industry retail churn rate is for employees.
Which is, I mean, that's impressive because it is a high churn industry. But it sounds like, so can we go a little further into Pride, and can you provide a little bit further background on A, what Pride Industries is and how it got started, or how you got hooked up with them?
Yeah, so Pride Industries is a nonprofit organization that finds meaningful employment for adults with disabilities. They have dozens of clients who want to work, who are looking for that opportunity to break into the workforce. And it can be a significant barrier for individuals who are absolutely high functioning, absolutely independent in their abilities and thought process. And it is really an underserved community in general. So Pride has the clientele of these adults that are looking for that placement. And Pride's role is to form those relationships out in the community with hiring entities that would be a good fit for their candidates in general. For some individuals, Pride also is providing an on-site job coach. So they're there the entire time. You're paying for the individual and not the coach. And it is just a real safety net, I think, in terms of the mental hurdles an organization may face. Well, how do I navigate this? So they're really that full service organization that's helping clients find placement, helping organizations like Soapy Joe's find an alternate workforce, and really eliminating as many barriers to entry within that on a functional daily level that they can as well.
As I was there, I saw a quote from Julie Smith. Is it Julie? I forgot the I when I wrote it down. But so director of HR, she said, people with disabilities are some of the most dedicated employees. They come to work, they're smiling, they're ready to work, and they're excited to work. So you have this audience or this group of people who want to be there. It's they, like you said, they just want to work. I think, and this might be ignorance and me stepping back, but I think perhaps that some of the barriers that operators have with going out and hiring someone who might have some sort of disability is, all right, well, they're not qualified, but you seem to kind of, no, they are. They're quite capable of doing what we're asking them to do, and they're going to do it well and with a smile on their face.
They're going to show up. They're going to be on time. They are in uniform. They want to be in uniform. They are wearing it with pride. They're happy to be there. And, you know, aside from attitude, which is some of those things you can't teach, on a functional level, we are finding great success with the repetitive nature of the tasks we have. Doing the lot, doing the towels, cleaning the vacuums. For some of these individuals where we're boring a standard candidate from a normal candidate pool, the repetition is comforting. They know exactly what to do. There's very little gray area there. We also have, and I think one of the biggest surprises for us, massive success with our Pride employees at the Express Pay terminals selling memberships. We have one individual, he is the top seller 3 months in a row for our entire organization. And let me tell you, that caught some attention and lit some fires. Like, are you kidding me? Again, friendly, approachable, unflappable. I mean, just, it just makes your day. And they're producing, not just doing. It's like, sounds too good to be true. It's like,
and you have this this effect on everyone else, right? Like, I could see how happy you are for this person, and like you say, yeah, it got some, you know, people fired up, but how can you not be happy for that? And it just adds to the positivity, and it seems like it's a snowballing effect for sure.
It truly does. And I think one of the things too, you were saying one of the barriers to entry may be just a functional skill set fit. But I think it would be remiss in not acknowledging that people may think that there would be awkward social scenarios with bringing someone with disabilities into their work environment. And again, not to sound Pollyanna, but we've just had the opposite be true. We have had leaders, you know, young leaders, like I was describing before, really blossom in having someone who truly wants to hear from them about how they can improve performance. It's a great role model relationship for some of those young leaders. It's just, you know, in some cases, the younger brother someone never had. They're just really embracing these individuals. And I think when we're more open to being ourselves or acknowledging that we're not all perfect, it creates a more open environment. People are just more personable, and it's been really nice. On the customer side, we are really getting a lot of acknowledgments as we go on. You know, I have someone in my family who's in a similar scenario, and, you know, or someone in their life. I believe the statistic from Pride is 1 in 4 adults have some sort of disability. And with that number so high, it's not a surprise that it's such an easy get for people in their lives to correlate, like, this is a good thing. I know someone just like this, and they could also benefit from this type of program.
Obviously, it seems that you set out to, here was an opportunity to have a workforce, have a fully staffed workforce, but here are all the extra benefits that come with it. You know, a liable employee who likes to be there, and kind of almost secondary. But what you're going to see is kind of that community goodwill and everything that comes out of it that you just said, you know, people acknowledging that, you know, I have a family member or I know someone. So certainly from a community relations standpoint, also very beneficial. So your relationship with Pride, no kind of unreasonable accommodations or extra expenses. It's just, you know, these are employees. They're treated just the same. It's not, you know, any extra resources thrown their way.
That's correct. You know, it's been pretty seamless. They're taking the same kinds of trainings, the training materials that we're providing to our regular employee base. They do have the job coach there. So if there's any missing in translation or even something as silly as an idiom that it just doesn't land, that's being used, that initial kind of enculturation, I guess you would say, it is smoothed over by that service that they provide. But yeah, functionally, very easy for us. And I think I skipped over, you had asked earlier how we got set up with them to begin with. And Julie is has a strong background in working with adults with disabilities and spent, I think it's 3 years with an organization similar. So really has this close to her heart and understands very deeply how that could benefit an organization. So she brought them in and established that relationship.
And as I apologize, I'm not 100% fully aware of Pride. I try to do my research, but is this a national organization, or is this specific to San Diego, California, the Southwest?
It is specific to California. So, you know, hear what I'm saying, but know that you can find a local organization that does something similar. This is a nationwide effort. And one of the reasons that we're talking today is October is National Disability Employment Awareness Month. NDEAM. So, you know, this is I had to like think through, make sure I got all those. But this is a national effort. This is nationally recognized. So, you know, we can help identify resources. I know Pride can hook anybody up that's listening with someone local. But please do look it up. There are resources like this nationwide.
Yeah, I think it's, you mentioned it is National Disabilities Employment Awareness Month. I had that written down too. Yeah. So, hopefully, if you're listening to this and you haven't considered this route, I think here's proof. The proof is in the pudding, right? That this is something that will work for you. And at Hoffman Car Wash, we have, not to the extent that Sobey Joe's does, but we do have programs in place where we've partnered. And again, just great success with it. You know, we just had, and you were talking about, you know, anniversaries and things that you celebrate. You know, we just had an employee who, working with the disability, celebrate 5 years. And it was the greatest thing, right? The whole location was happy for them. It was just an awesome experience. And these are just things that kind of come with it and you get. And just, like you said, just happy to be there, happy to work. And they do such a good job.
They really do. We're at 0% turnover with our Pride clients. And my site managers are literally fighting for the next one, that next individual who's available. They're like, I want that person. It's phenomenal. 5 years is great. Congratulations.
Well, you think, like, how many, to say 0% turnover is just, you know, it's mind blowing. And not just in our industry, anywhere else, any hiring manager would be like, I'll take it. I want it all day long. So that's incredible. It certainly is. But there's probably, and to shift gears a little bit, it seems like, you know, a lot of this is cultural within the organization, and, you know, recognizing employees, making a safe, happy work environment. Can you walk us through? It sounds like Sobey Joe's is doing, you're pushing all the right buttons. Like, what at the core is, or what are some of the initiatives that you do to employment engagement to help reduce that churn? Not just with your Pride employees, but just overall.
Yeah, I when I think of our values, the two that come to mind that we would employ most with our employees would be the have fun and keep learning values, and maybe build community too. And lead with heart. They're all there. I can't stop. But we really are, you know, trying to make sure that we're promoting the individual with the skills that they're looking to build. So in addition to a standard like performance rubric, we're also doing a lot of career coaching, career counseling, and doing that in a set method, just on where they want to go. So not performance, but trying to provide those opportunities then within the organization. One example of that, I had an individual working for me running our call center, our customer care center, and identified that his passion was L&D and had a background in graphic design and all of these, you know, kind of components leading up to that interest. And we were able to create a year-long transition path to get him the missing components to really be qualified in that area, elegantly transition out of his role over there. So we have several other stories like that where we're able to take someone's interest level, and, you know, you don't have to leave Sobey Joe's to follow your path. So you don't just have to be in car wash. There's all the back office things, those kinds of opportunities. So I would say those kinds of structured programs, but then also you mentioned having fun, and, you know, are there contests? You know, we're doing things quarterly at minimum to engage on the fun level. And we also just started within, I'd say the past year, we call it Behind the Bubbles, and it's a Facebook group for our employees that want to join. So we've got things on site, hydration challenges, incentives in terms of sales contests, of course. And then, you know, fun things, our holiday parties, our on-site promotions, opportunities to interact with our Sobey character, swag giveaways, all the things.
So you talked about your call center, employee in the call center, you identified graphic design was their kind of background or passion. And I think maybe this goes missed a long time. And, you know, Hoffman Car Wash, we have 500, 600 employees, and we're in the process. We're kind of trying to just fine tune how we brand our workplace, right? So, and in our discovery sessions, you know, we've kind of identified there's two groups of people. There's the people, the part-timers, the young kids who maybe this is their first time job. And then you have the other set that is, okay, these are people who are looking for a career full-time. You know, they're going to work 40 hours a week. So, you know, you're trying to talk to both groups, right? But one of the things that, you know, and people need to understand is if you're in that first group and you're young and you're coming up, like the amount of the skills that you're going to learn in customer service and just operations and understanding certain things. But what we find here too is, you know, you look at our customer care team or even our IT department, all of these people, or most of these people, started as a line attendant in our car wash. They've identified, or they told someone that they had interest in computer science or whatever it is, and then have found jobs or careers, you know, outside of the actual location. And you think about all the employees that Hoffman Car Wash has ever had or Sobey Joe's has ever had. It's a lot of people that have come through your doors, and they have many skill sets, and finding those skill sets can make a bigger impact on your organization down the road. So you kind of have to have your eyes open, your ears open, and looking for these things, because these are your future, maybe leadership teams or whatever it is, for sure.
I love that. I mean, what a compliment. I mean, that they're able to move within and stay with you and explore that. That's so cool. And I think the biggest compliment that we've ever received, you mentioned a lot of the individuals working with us, if they fall into that first-time job category, sometimes they leave and then they have another experience somewhere that isn't up to Hoffman standards or Sobey Joe's standards, and they come back and they're really recognizing for the long term that there was something different here, and you know, there's value in that. I would say our other claim to fame in the Sobey Joe's world is the second audience you mentioned, the career-minded individuals. You know, you can start at a Sobey Joe's car wash as a line attendant and within 2 years be manager of your own site. This is a path forward. It's structured. We can show you how to get there. And, you know, yes, you could take a job as a clerk at Target, but in 2 years, you're going to be a clerk at Target. You know, this is a high-growth, high-opportunity, high-potential opportunity for someone who's willing to put in the work and show that leadership aptitude.
Yeah. So are there other opportunities? Obviously, you're growing. You mentioned you're, I don't know if on the podcast or before we started, you know, you're opening 4 stores in the last quarter of this year. So it's not just necessarily the location growth, but with that, the organization has to grow too, just to support it. So I'm sure there's more opportunities, like not just at a location, but, you know, in the corporate office or what the service team or whatever it is, like that needs to grow too. And kind of going back to my point, people who work at the car wash, they understand it. They get it. It's easier to find that talent within, and rather than bringing, not always, but then bringing someone from the outside, there's a much bigger learning curve because it's an industry like nothing else really, right? So, and understanding it. So is that kind of the growth that you're seeing too, is the expansion within the corporate office, not just necessarily at the locations?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think you've identified something that we're really trying to be thoughtful at the enterprise planning level about, which is as we scale up, you know, how at what levels and what milestones are you adding resource in the appropriate areas? You know, some may be before the growth happens and some may be trailing after to account for a membership ramp that is, you know, after opening as compared to construction activity, which happens before. So really identifying what those levels are. Is it a site count? Is it a membership count? Which of those levers necessitate the types of changes you're talking about? So definitely, yes, thoughtful as we can. And then also, I mean, just making the most of those growth opportunities internally as well.
All right. All right. Let's shift here. Let's get to the good stuff. Let's get to the marketing. Still, yeah, exactly. You know, the question I always get asked, and I'm going to ask you, and Phil, if you don't want to get too deep into the weeds, no pars, you're going to open up a store. What does your marketing playbook look like?
We have a 3-tier NSO, new store opening, playbook, and we've got it tiered out. So we really try and look at what are identifying the levers to fit within those 3 tiers. They would be different for every organization, but then have our tactics and budget amount roughed out, right? That helps us from the beginning of the year understand where we're going to put the max effort, where the focus is going to be, helps us with staffing, all those kinds of things. And then we can customize from there. Is it a community that has a specific need? Is there a specific charitable organization there? Is it a specific time of year? Do I want to launch something? Do we have something going on? And, you know, kind of fine tuning out of those tiers. So we, again, try and come about it from a scalable system. We are opening another 4 in these coming weeks, months, and the end of the year. But we're really looking outside of San Diego. And, you know, if you can't do it for 50 stores, don't do it. We're trying to build our systems and processes with that in mind now. So that's our approach.
How much is that? How much, I guess, from that, the game planning, was just the previous people who have been, have worked, how much have you brought to the table in that sense of like, how have you pulled from the other industries that you worked for to say, okay, like, here's our three-tier approach. This is how we're going to scale and how we're going to go from it. And is there one industry that you've pulled from more than maybe some others?
Oh, gosh. Well, I would say that the overall mix has been a combo of gut knowledge from being in the industry viscerally for years, i.e. Lauren's our CEO and, you know, how the team did it in the past. And then the data and the scalable approach that I'm bringing in. So we're kind of taking the best of the best and mushing it all together into what's a smart plan for car wash. I would say I'm leaning most heavily in that sense on the four walls side from the restaurant days. But I also have a significant amount of time that I've spent in e-commerce with software sales. So B2B, B2C software. And on that side, it's all about lead generation and e-commerce and all the digital content, social, all of those kinds of things. So in that sense, we're trying to be smart in the digital sphere as well and really provide that omni-channel approach. There was very little digital going on before we grew the marketing organization that we have today. It really wasn't necessary. They were doing a lot within the four walls and were able to create and maintain a steady growth that they could ingest at that time. So digital layer coming over the top, I think, would be really the hallmark of what I added in to the successful mix that was already there, being things like billboards, radio, direct mail.
Yeah. I think what's important for some of the smaller operations, you might not even have a marketing director, is just the keep in mind, like, the cohesion that you want. You want similar, you want the branding to be on point. You want similar messaging all the way across all of your platforms. It's so important that, you know, again, you're creating a brand here. You want people to feel a certain way when they see your billboard, when they see your Facebook ad, when they're on location. It should all be one thing. You've certainly, you're in tune to the industry. Are there any kind of low-hanging fruit that you might that you think smaller operators could be easily picking and kind of fine-tuning?
Yeah, definitely. I would say talk to your customers. Fancy words, research. Easy words, go talk to people. I mean, it is really something anybody can and should be doing, regardless of, you know, how sophisticated or you know, rudimentary your systems may be, analog your systems may be. That your customers are right there, and it's something that if you're willing to adjust and adapt and hear the feedback, that can really help you move your business. You may be missing something that they find very valuable that you need to improve. And with that, you could, if you take action, could unlock a whole other group of customers for yourself. So I would say get out there and do some research, talk to people. I use SurveyMonkey. It's very affordable. On the digital side, though, if you can go that one step further, the 201 level, be collecting people's email addresses or phone numbers so you can text or email them the survey. If not, you're going to be, you know, looking at the people that's right there on your lot, which is fine too. But get that contact information so you can start communicating with them.
Yeah. Any tactics on how to actually get that contact information?
I have tried everything. And we're like still just trying to make it happen. If you get half of the people to give you their contact information, you're doing great. We've done everything from attaching like a give us your name and phone number to our air fresheners that we're handing out, so they're going out, to walking the line with an iPad, trying to get people's contact information. The most successful is giving away free washes out in the community, like at community events. That's building a database, but they're not necessarily your customers. So being able to distinguish the two is important. I aside from joining, you know, that's a majority of our customers are members. Our system doesn't require them to give us their email address or phone number, though. So there's a hefty amount in there that we don't have their contact information. But that's the standard way. Signature at the bottom of the log receipt.
Yeah, it's definitely, you've touched on very similar things that we've done. The key is, and when you think about it, how important that first party data really is, right? So you have email addresses, you have phone numbers, you can speak directly to this customer or potential customer You don't have to go out and hope they see your TV commercial or your billboard. I mean, you can speak directly to them. It's an important and cost-effective marketing tactic for sure. I think this is when we started the Unlimited program here. This is before my time. Is, you know, the getting processing cars is such an important part of our industry. You want to get people through that line as fast as possible. So decisions are made. Okay, we're not going to collect email address or whatever it is. It's going to hold up the line. And I think now we're starting to rethink that a little bit. We will collect a phone number, and we have an onboarding process. With text message, you have to be careful because there's guidelines and laws, and you can't just text message anyone. So you have to kind of be careful there. And
expensive too. Like email is cheaper.
Yeah, email is certainly cheaper. When we look at our marketing, it's that first party data that we put such a high priority on, and you really can't just, it's not easy to collect. You have to think outside of the box sometimes. And like you said, like the free wash is certainly the easiest, but it also sometimes you attract the bottom feeders or people who are your customer or whatever it is. So, that's interesting. So, I'll be curious to see how over the next just few years that how AI plays a role in all of this and what Google or Facebook and how they're going to incorporate it into potentially better targeting. But on the same side, you have, you know, Apple and their iOS privacy thing. So it's a changing landscape that you kind of have to be aware of and be smart about it. But with that being said, sometimes traditional marketing still does work.
I'm a big believer in that. Yeah, I like working both levels of it. There's so much going on. If, like you were talking about, if you don't have a cohesive brand that is going to cut through the digital clutter, get in those mailboxes. I mean, people do redeem offers with an old school coupon. I mean, we see it in our business. And like you were saying, on the digital side, for me, what's exciting as a marketer is it's always moving and it's always changing, but that is a big challenge to keep up with. I have a small in-house team. I have three people on my marketing team, and we do everything from point of sale management to PR to ad placement to events, like all of it. And I lean heavily on my agency partners to keep me up to speed. We are always saying, what's the shiniest tool you've got in your shed? What's the newest thing? What's out there? What's hip? Even if I can't afford it to buy it, I can benefit from the sales pitch and the learning. So we try and stay up to date, not only on our own, but through those partnerships as well.
I think what you said is so interesting, because I do this too, and hopefully our listeners could take this, is you have these media partners and they're going to sell you. They're going to sell you, you know, something that probably doesn't make sense for you. But there's always one thing that you're like, I kind of like that idea. You might not want to use them, or you might be able to do it yourself. And I think those are such great conversations to have, because they just get the wheels turning, right? And I think it's very easy to be like, oh, you're a salesperson, I'm not going to talk to you, whatever. A lot of it is relationship building, but go into it with an open mind and, is there something that we can borrow and kind of do ourselves?
I like the DIY angle too. I mean, we're in the middle right now of trying to create all the data layers in our BI infrastructure to have some input into our POS, pull it out, and be able to use it in a way that's meaningful for us based on ideas that we have learned from others.
And you look at the POS, I think there's good data that can be pulled from there. And it sounds like you're doing that. Or is there a certain data set or a KPI that is most important for you and Soapy Joe's?
Well, definitely membership count. I mean, we are really focused on ramping up our new store openings fast and strong, get that membership base going, and then retention. So the other side of the coin, making sure that when they are in, that we're engaging them, that we're creating experiences that are meaningful to them. Back to that customer journey map I mentioned at the beginning of our chat, making sure that each of those touch points is on point and we don't lose them. And if they do decide to leave the organization, of course, we survey them and ask them why. We do that more frequently than our regular customer survey, so we can really keep our finger on the pulse of why people may be opting to leave right now and what can we do about it. So, membership and retention.
Yeah, I think it's hard. Sometimes you have so much data to kind of filter through and actually know what's worth looking at. Having data for data's sake doesn't really get you anywhere.
Totally, yes. It can be tempting, but, knowing what's meaningful, and sometimes that changes over time, too, being willing to say, that this was a goal associated with this time period, but now we're over here and it's really engagement. So maybe our social media score or rankings is really important over a key time when you don't want to discount, for example. So being flexible and responsive to your environment also is a good reminder for all of us, including myself.
And I've taken up a lot of your time. I don't want to keep you much longer. We ask all of our guests this at the end of each show. And if you have, I know you're probably outside in beautiful San Diego weather, but if you do find time and you're inside and you're streaming some sort of TV show or Netflix show, what are you streaming currently?
I love documentaries. And so I'm watching, whatever comes up in my feed. I want to tell you that it's not TV, but I am going to the Taylor Swift movie on Friday when it comes out with my 8-year-old daughter. So I'll say that.
Yeah, there you go. I have a 7-year-old and I am a Swiftie. So where is she playing? Where are you going? This in San Diego?
It's the IMAX movie version of her playing up. Well. Yeah, the movie thing. So I confess I'm not a Swiftie. So my plan is to go as the Kelce era and just do the Kansas City Chiefs because I'm from Iowa in the Midwest. So that.
There you go. Yeah. Very good. That is awesome. Well, it was great talking to you. Congratulations just on all your success, Soapy Joe's success, and what a great program you have with Pride. Prideindustries.com is where you can find more information, particularly if you're in Southern California or if you want to just kind of get a baseline of what an organization like that can do. Definitely go check it out. And thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye-bye.